everyone. Welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 281. Hey. My name is Christopher Kiel, and I'm here with Jeff Chorney.
What up?
And Jason A. Stryker.
Yo!
And today we are going to talk a little bit about the retro presentation of recent games that we've seen in this generation, and whether or not it's worn out, it's welcome. But before that, we're going to do distractions and a little bit of news. And afterwards, we'll do some new releases, a couple of voicemails. We might have some Indus questions. We'll check with that with Jeff later. And new question of the week. But before we do that, let's go around and see how it's going. Jason, what's up, dude? How you doing?
Pretty good, man. Not a lot going on right now. Still work stuff, which is actually kind of slowed down. We're in that lull where not a lot of games are being announced because it's so close to E3. So, not a ton going on, which is a lifesaver because I'm able to get caught up on stuff and just, breathe. Breathing is nice.
Did you ever put out your Monster Hunter review?
Yeah. That went out some time ago. I forgot what I gave it. I want to say 7.75. 7.25? Something like that.
Right. I think you gave it 7.25.
7.25. Yeah. There we go.
Okay.
And yeah, my Soul Sacrifice review went out too.
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
I got reviews all over the place.
I know,
man.
Right? We went for video editing and you're doing reviews. What's that about?
Yeah, how did that happen? I found myself a niche.
So how many is that now? Three that you've done?
Two reviews and some previews. And,
two reviews.
A bunch of other bylines in the magazine for like hardware review and stuff like that.
Yeah. You've already done more for GI than you have for all of Indus in 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, except for, all the other work that it is.
Well, I should say writing.
Okay, there we go.
I'm mainly just taking a jab, but it's okay.
I'll take it.
I was going to say it's amazing what happens when you actually get paid to do stuff.
Yeah, I know, right?
Anyway, how about Jeff? How you doing, man?
I'm okay. I'm doing all right. I'm hungry. Okay, so Tanya and I started this.
How you doing, Jeff? I'm hungry.
I'm hungry.
We started this. It's called it's like a body reset thing. It's on the surface. It looks like one of those cleanse things. Those cleanse things don't work. They're just like whatever.
Enemas, right?
With the witch?
Enemas.
Pretty much.
Okay.
This is like you eat three fresh smoothies, one for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for 5 days, and then with two snacks in between them. And then the next 5 days, you add in a real meal, but you're still eating two smoothies, two snacks. And the third week is, next 5 days is two meals and with the two snacks and a smoothie. And then the last one is basically three meals, two snacks, and no smoothies. So the whole point is to get your body used to eating like five times a day, getting your metabolism up. And it's basically to lose, bottom line is to lose weight, because I was basically looking at myself, I'm like, fucking hell, I've put on weight. What the hell have I done? Like, what am I doing different? And I was like, well, besides not being even close to as active as I was like 5 years ago, I'm like, drinking on every Thursday night screws what? My entire, it screws my entire, okay, like, even when I was trying to eat healthy, I'd eat healthy. My plan would be, I'll eat healthy Monday to Friday and then have the weekends to do whatever. But what usually happened is Thursday on the way home, I'd be like, well, probably been having a few drinks, so I'm gonna grab something with sustenance on the way home. So I'll grab like a 6-inch sub or like a cheeseburger from McDonald's. And then I end up drinking way too much, staying up to 4 in the morning. And the next day I feel like crap and hungover. And when you feel like crap and hungover, you want to eat grease. So I get like Burger King after work. And all throughout the day on Friday, I would eat like shit. And then I get home on Friday and not want to make anything. So me and Tanya would order something garbagey. And then we go into the weekend of eating everything we want to. So really, I was only
vicious
healthy
cycle,
like,
man.
Yeah, Monday to Wednesday.
Yeah, you have 3 days, three
exactly.
out of seven.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm like, I really got to change this. So we did this thing. I've only been doing this now for 4 days, and I've already gone down a belt notch on my belt buckle, which is pretty crazy.
Hey, yeah.
So it definitely works, and it's actually not that bad. I'm actually not as hungry as I. It's just that I'm getting to the point where I'm just sick of smoothies. I can't wait till Sunday where we can actually throw in the real meal in there to kind of, change it up a bit.
Yeah.
And not just eat crackers and peanut butter and shit like that, and turkey slices. But yeah, it's working so far, and I'm going to stick to it for 15 days and see what happens. But I'm not going to give up my Thursday routine quite yet. Although I did not. I limited myself tonight. I literally bought myself like two or three King cans of beer, and that's it. Usually I'd go through like a Mickey of vodka and a case of beer. That'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, that would be just a bit ridiculous.
A King can of beer. So I figure I'll give this a try and see what happens, because I really need to do something about it. I'm like, not getting any smaller. So other than that, exciting news on the fucking weight loss program for Indus. Chris, what's up with you?
Speaking of weight loss program for Indus, I've lost 35 pounds on Weight Watchers.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I really haven't talked about it very much on the show for sure because it's not something that I really talk about often, but since you were talking about it, yeah, I've lost, it's actually more than that now, but I don't weigh in until Saturdays, but I've lost over 35 pounds since awesome, Thanksgiving, and I kind of put it in perspective when I kind of picked up my son, and I was like, I am still lighter than I was on Thanksgiving, holding my son. So.
Oh, wow. That's cool.
Yeah, so it puts
and
it in Liam's perspective.
Liam's a fatty.
Liam is 32 pounds. 32 pounds. He's actually really skinny.
Yeah.
So he's like in the 50th percentile or something like that. So he's apparently on average, but he's just super skinny. So, but, yeah, besides that, you know, last week I talked about all the stuff we have going on in the house and, the exterior is almost done. So that should be finished tomorrow. Had a little, hiccup in the replacement of the tub upstairs. And so they're coming out to finish that up next week. But, yeah, it's just been a lot of stress on that front because, you know, when people are here working all the time, you know, for a week, it makes it tough for kids to sleep and, you know, to have privacy and things like that. So, it's been a stressful week, but it's almost over. It's almost over. So it'll be nice to get that out of the way.
Yeah.
But,
totally.
That's pretty much it. I mean, that and work, is, I want to say busy, but not the type of busy that I want it to be. Because in reality, I've been there for like almost 7 weeks and I have yet to write a line of code.
Wow, really?
Yeah, it's been a lot of, we've got two projects coming down the pipe, but they're still in major prep phases and it's a lot of, politics trying to get people to loosen up their requirements because they were so used to dealing with outsourced, resources and now everybody's insourced and,
Know,
trying to get things to loosen up a little bit. So, just really trying to kind of be a forerunner of how these innovation centers should work. And it's been an effort of everybody in the center. And there's like 180 people in the center right now. So, everybody's been working on that type of initiative at this point. So,
gotcha.
It's been quite a unusual situation. It's been a learning experience for sure. But
I'm sure it'll pay off though.
Absolutely. You know, I've already learned a ton just from seeing how they do things and how distributed everything is. Like, you know, with my last job, it's like we made the application, we stuck it on a server and it ran. This is like, you've got this service running here and this service running on this other server. And it's like one of the applications that we have requires 5 servers. It's like, that's just crazy. So, I'm learning a ton about this shit. Definitely happy that I made the move. But, enough about that. Let's talk about some games. I really don't have a whole lot. So this might be a quick distraction. So
yeah, same here though.
Jeff, why don't you start with it?
I got basically one game to talk about, and last week, Jason, of course, well, last couple weeks, Jason's been, you know, edging me to tip me over that Injustice fence.
Oh my god, this guy in Injustice. Not only do I have to listen to it on this podcast, I had to listen to it on the Game Informer podcast, too. It's like, oh my god, shut the fuck up, dude.
Oh, man. I've been trying very hard not to twist anyone's arm.
No, honestly, you're doing it in a funny way. It wasn't like you're like, get it. It wasn't like you're always like every 2 seconds on Twitter being like, you should get it. Just like, you know.
In reality, it's like you talk about it passionately, but you know, even on Game Informer, it was very, you know, it's to each their own, and this is, you know, it's going to be right for these types of people. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's definitely not like saying, oh my god, best game ever!
Yeah, it's not the new truth, but
no,
hey, it's a fun diversion.
It's the truth for now, for sure. And I mean, I had Friday off last week, so after recorded, I was like, well, I'll probably pick it up on the weekend. And I ended up sleeping in till can't remember what time we were up. We were playing fighting games till it was probably about 3:30 in the morning or something last Thursday, my time. And then I slept. I didn't mean to do this, but I slept till about 1 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday.
Good God, dude.
Yeah. So, and I never do that. Like it's even like when I'm up kind of like really late, usually that's very rare. So I basically thought I was like, I wasted like half the freaking day. So I'm like, what do I do? So I did my chores, so to speak. I cleaned the freaking kitchen and played with the cat and laid there for a bit and cleaned some more. And then I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to go and get it. So I went and grabbed it. And pretty much I've been playing that ever since. I like it so far quite a bit.
I hope so if you've been playing it since you got it.
Yeah, well, yeah, most of that because it's like new, but I have a hard time explaining to people because people say, is it like Mortal Kombat? It is, but it isn't. Like, how do you explain that, Jason? Someone says, is it like Mortal Kombat? Like, it does initially kind of feel like a Mortal Kombat game, but
yeah,
it's got
like,
so much more
I think
to
the
it.
Framework's, yeah, a lot like the old Mortal Kombat, but it brings in a lot of, like, Street Fighter, you know, sensibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Mortal Kombat, you know, before was, you know, heavy on, like, juggle combos and everything, and, you know, that's still, you know, prevalent in this one, but they put such a focus on projectiles now and zoning, so it feels really, really different.
So much annoying, so with some characters, actually.
But yeah, other things like, you know, the like focus attacks and even backdashes have invincibility, shit like that. Just little touches here and there that that are very Street Fighter that just changes the game so much.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah, it does. It's cool. And I like how it's... I just like how you can change the control scheme to the alternate one, which basically turns all the... Like, you know, like in Mortal Kombat, crazy, like throw a scorpion spear, be like back, forward, punch.
Right.
And you throw the spear out. You can change that so it's basically quarter circle forward and punch. So if you're used to like
so fucking
Capcom
cool.
fighters, yeah, that's what I use. I turn it right to that right away, and I'm like...
Wait, so you can actually adjust how you do moves?
Well, you can't pick how to do them, but there's like basically the default set, and then the alternate set, which basically the alternate set turns anything that goes from back to forward, forward to back, forward, like tapping, like Mortal Kombat, it turns that to like either a half circle or a quarter circle.
Oh,
so
wow.
Yeah, that's a good way to describe it is, you know, changes the tapping to like more motion-based.
Goes from Mortal Kombat style to Street Fighter style.
Yeah.
Exactly, yeah.
That's really cool.
And I find that really a lot easier when you're picking up a new character, just messing around. Like, I look at move lists, but I don't, like, it's not the first thing I do. I usually try to just do regular motions I know and see if it does anything. Then I'll go to the move list, and it's like, you know, Mortal Kombat is hard to be like tap, back, forward, 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 back, forward, forward, whatever, and any kind of up, down, whatever. And then it just changes it all to like Street Fighter shit. So that's kind of cool. One thing though, I've been playing with Jason quite a bit, and the online has a little bit of like input lag, same as Mortal Kombat, but it's not as laggy as Mortal Kombat online. Like Mortal Kombat online was almost unplayable. I think there's like maybe one person I could play with in one-on-one and have it not be a real like shit show in regards to lag.
Yeah. And it was terrible.
Yeah, it was very, very bad. And this isn't like that. This is definitely playable, but it still has a little bit of that input lag.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I was having a lot of problems online, like doing the same combos I could do offline. And actually I figured out I want to hear what your theory is on this, Jason, too, but the game is very, and it sounds negative because when you hear this term, people think it's negative, but kind of like dial a combo. And I don't mean it the way that, well, kind of is like you're dialing. Like you can literally, even offline, put in the inputs to a combo and let go of your stick and watch like the last two or three hits connect.
Yeah.
And that really fucks with me.
Oh, it does?
A lot. Yeah.
I guess the term that I use is buffering.
Yeah, it buffers for you. Yeah, exactly. It's not like Street Fighter where like a Street Fighter buffer would be like, hey, I'm going to do a low short, but I'm going to be buffering the motion to throw the fireball and then, you know, that kind of thing. And this kind of does it for you. And this is why it screws me because I have a habit of in Street Fighter and other Capcom games, let's say I'm doing like a cross up and then I want to hit you with like a low short. I double tap that low short button. I don't know why. It's just like a habit. I do stuff like that. So, but in Street Fighter, if you don't link it right, that move ain't coming out no matter what. Whereas in Mortal Kombat, if I do that, if I go like, medium, and the animation of the first medium still isn't done, that second one's still coming out. Even though, like, I'm like, oh crap, don't hit anything, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's why I think I was fucking up a lot of my combos at first, because I would do a jump kick, like, for a follow-up, like, in the air, and I would just naturally hit that kick button twice. I don't know why I do it. And then my character would land, and that medium would come out. Or I shouldn't say medium, I guess. Well, I guess it would be medium. And
sounds
so,
like
yeah.
you gotta shape up with your execution there, Chorney.
Exactly. But the thing is, it's a weird execution. It's like, it's such a different execution than Street Fighter, cause.
Yeah.
I can get, like, in Street Fighter Third Strike, I can get, like a three link into a super, but I'm doing those habits of hit double tapping certain buttons, but I just know that move isn't gonna come out if it's not done right. But in Mortal Kombat, a move's still gonna come out. If it's chainable, it's gonna come out no matter what, even if that animation isn't done. So, yeah, so I spent, like, so long in the trading room, like, last couple of days, just like practicing different shit. So I just basically got to do like, okay, one tap, one button, one everything, go through that shit. Very like, don't get too excited. And I mean, we practiced the other day. Remember, I was like, these combos are not working online. Then when we actually started practicing, where I was like, okay, they actually still work.
Mm-hmm.
The timing's not that much different. It's just, I just got to make sure not to double tap a button or a direction, because that shit's going to, it's going to come out, which is kind of weird. That's why I kind of like the game, because it actually makes it feel very, very different. That's why I think it appeals to a lot of people. Like, I didn't play a lot of Killer Instinct. Is that what Killer Instinct was kind of like? Because people call that, like, dial a combo. I figured it's kind of the same.
I mean, it is kind of like that, but it's only during combos, like predetermined mm-hmm. combos. So you can't really link anything so much as, you know, like, once you jump in, hit medium punch, like, a certain button will be, like, the auto chain. So you can just kind of mash in, you know, during that, or through that flow. And, yeah, it's not too strict, I guess, on the timing.
Gotcha. I'm liking it. I just got to get used to, just got to calm down. If anything, the game is really teaching me patience on button inputs and, like you said, execution. Like, and my biggest problem with Street Fighter with certain characters were stuff where you had to do, like, crouching something, standing forward something, or, like kind of chain-type combos into link-type combos, because my problem is I double-tap shit, and this is teaching me not to do that. So I'm hoping it'll help my Street Fighter game out a bit and not have to worry about that. I'm hoping.
It might.
Because I was doing that a lot with even regular characters using Street Fighter till, like, I'd say the last 6 months, where I was, like, really comfortable with certain characters. I wouldn't do that, but mm-hmm. yeah. So it's cool. I like the character roster. I know nothing about DC at all outside of the Batman universe, but I'm looking at the roster. I'm like, all the characters seem kind of cool.
A lot of them are. Cool. Yeah. Some of them are just weirdos, though. Yeah, like, you never really see them in the comics at all, and they're never really talked about in the universe, but they're there. like, a couple examples are, like, Ares, you know? Like, he's not in the comics, really, but most of the characters have, like, a paired-up, you know, arch-nemesis.
Okay.
And Ares is Wonder Woman's arch-nemesis.
Oh, gotcha.
It seems like everybody has, like, a counterpart. Like, Green Lanterns is Killer Frost for some... Oh, no, Sinestro, I'm sorry.
I don't even know who Killer Frost is, but she seems pretty cool.
Yeah, she's another one that doesn't get a lot of time in the comics. So, just strange, some of the inclusions, but overall, it's a pretty cool roster. And I am digging the shit out of Lobo, by the way. He's the first DLC character. Just came out earlier this week. He's pretty badass. But once again, he doesn't fit into the universe, like, at all. You know, he's such an oddball character. It's weird.
Hey, wasn't there something, a movie, in a Lobo movie? A long time ago?
I don't know if there was a Spawn movie.
There was definitely a Spawn movie.
But, I mean...
For sure.
I don't remember Lobo.
Or is he DC?
He's DC.
Oh, he is DC. Okay.
Yeah.
Huh.
Spawn's Image. Or was.
Yes.
I don't know anymore.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm confused. There's something else I want to say about Images, but I can't freaking remember
it. Well, before you get too far, you mentioned that we were playing online, but we were also in a training room online.
Yes. Oh, yeah. You can do training room online, which is amazing.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
And it's
sat and we bullshitted, and, you know, I was watching Jeff do his combos, and he was trying to accommodate for lag, and I'm like, oh, that looks like it's going to hit. Oh, wait, that was way too early.
Yeah.
But, yeah, we were able to give feedback on, you know, the timing and the combos and everything, and it's fun.
It's not like, like Street Fighter Cross Tekken did that too, but Street Fighter Cross Tekken had it, the two of you tag teaming against the AI, like the dummy, where this is like you're going, it's like Versus style, which everyone's been wanting for, like, forever. It's like, all right, we have both of our characters. We can both practice shit. You go first. It's not like you have to tag the other character in and do stuff. And it's cool.
There's so much that they nailed on this game. Like, I you know, because I came in with, like, zero expectations, but then they start throwing really, really cool shit like this. It's like, I want a lot of these functions to be standards in fighting games now, you know?
Yep. That training one, definitely.
Yep,
and the story mode, I've only played the first few chapters, but it's like the Mortal Kombat training story mode, and it's actual story mode.
Yeah.
As you jump from character to character, and I like that.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's arcade mode. So what the hell? There's something I really wanted to fucking say, and I can't remember now.
Battles?
No, it wasn't the star thing. It was it might have been...
Harley's Jubblies?
Harley's Jubblies. fuck. If I remember it, we'll get back to it, but... I'm really enjoying it so far. I got to throw it a quick. I had it bought over 360, but thanks to Mr. Eddie Kukusanagi, I also own it now on PS3. So you rock, Eddie. Love you, man. Thanks. We'll play tonight, hopefully. Because now everyone's playing it now on PS3, when beforehand I was like, crap, there's like three people on the list that have it, and two of them will barely play it or not show up for Fight Night Thursdays, Mr. Pigpen.
So, better. So, I bought it on PS3 first.
Not naming any names.
Nobody was playing it. So, I bought it on 360 because you got it, and now we're switching back to PS3. So.
Well, I also played on both because Sniper Maverick, he's the guy who's been playing with us the last few days. Mm-hmm. I knew he had it, and I have two other people, too, that have it on my list on 360. They just have not been on, of course, since I've gotten it. So, awesome. But, yeah, whatever. It's worth it. It's fun. It's going to be the new hotness until, I guess, the 2013 patch comes out for AE, I'm guessing. I don't know.
Yeah. Which is still a ways out. Sometime this summer, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
That's it. That's it for me. That's
cool.
All
Jason,
I've been
what do you
playing.
Got?
Yeah, ditto. Lots of Injustice. Not much else to add on that. Playing it on the 360 a little bit more. I think the netcode's a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to find matches quite a bit faster as well. So
that's good.
That's my preferred online experience.
Go ahead. Keep that thought before we move on from it. Okay, because the game has a lot of destructible environment stuff that you can like toss at people,
yeah,
and these crazy transitions. You can knock people into like different stages. The stage transitions aren't that bad besides being a little bit long after you've seen them all like a million times. My problem with the destructible environments, outside of the fact that I always forget they're there, and Jay's gonna attest to this, like I always just forget they're there and forget to block them, because a lot of them are unblockable unless you use like a special certain move. And this is what I don't like. The destructible stuff you can throw at people and blow up seem to favor the stronger characters more because they straight up grab the shit and smack you with it and does a ton of damage. I would have liked it if say, like, because the lighter characters like Chris, the more mobile ones, can jump off certain stuff that the big guys can't. But the big guys can pick up shit and just crush you with it or throw it across the screen for damage. If there's a way to kind of, even if it burns meter or whatever, but a way you can kind of, the lighter characters react to that, like, say, Grundy grabs a car and he's about to smack you with it, and then Harley Quinn, you can kind of react to it and she actually jumps and jumps off the car and like behind him, so it's kind of like there's no damage being done, because the only way to dodge that if you're in the range is to burn meter, whereas the guy who smashes the car doesn't take meter to do that. It's like, oh, you're just in a bad spot, here it comes. So sure. I thought that'd be kind of cool if they added something kind of like that, so it was more of like a actiony comic like thing where it's you can kind of dodge out of the way of those things without kind of make it a little bit, I wouldn't say fair, because some of the smaller characters can do some cool stuff, but I just feel like when I'm Harley Quinn, it's like I can jump over shit and slide over stuff, but
you're far more mobile than those power characters, though.
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I guess I just haven't figured out what the good use of that is, because it's very...
Getting the fuck out of somewhere, or, you know,
true.
Just... I don't know, just a straight-up defensive shit. Grundy
like
can grab it, throw something, but then it's gone for the rest of that stage, whereas you can keep reusing it to jump off of. That's
true.
I'm with you, though.
It's
it seems
like,
a little
seems
skewed
like
towards
right
the power characters. Yeah.
Yeah. It gives
until we figure out
advantage.
The strategery.
Exactly. It's still the new game. It's still like the new thing, figuring out shit. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm like, oh, motherfucker. Like,
I really love the interactables. I think it's a really cool like metagame.
It's a cool feature. Yeah. I think once it's...
It really gets me thinking about positioning a little bit more.
Yeah. I just... And
if
the thing
you,
is,
once
I'm
you start working
it.
That into your game, Jeff, I think you'll like them a lot more.
Appreciate it more. Yeah. I just got to pay attention to it. And I'm at the point still now, I don't even know what is and isn't interactable, to be honest. Like, there's some shit I didn't even know. Like, you were like, those computer screens or those TV screens. Like, I didn't know I can do anything with those. Like, there's another robot thing in the background of one that Sniper's like, oh, you can... Or was it you? Someone said something about you can basically push a button on it and it goes across and blows up. I didn't know that. It looks like you're just in the background.
Well, if you look closely, when you're standing next to an interactable, your RB button will light up in the upper left-hand corner of the screen.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Ah.
So it's either like an interactable or it's a place where you can juggle them off of. You've seen, you know, where you can like knock them into the background and they'll bounce back.
Yeah.
Same deal.
Okay.
So be on the lookout. Just go into one of the training rooms and...
Yeah, and just fuck around with the background. Mm-hmm.
They're usually in the same spot, though. Like even
you're all in, like,
between
the same areas of the
same areas. Mm-hmm.
I do like the wager thing, the meter wager, and I like how you can only use it once per round. I don't think I haven't initiated one yet because I always forget about it. But the problem I had with Mortal Kombat is it was so easy to break combos in that game for a very, very cheap price. It was like 2 meter, I think, to do it.
Yeah.
And, I'm glad that they made this one. It's only one round and it takes 2 meter to actually do. It does take 2 meter to do, right? Yeah, 2 meter to initiate it, but it doesn't count against your betting, right?
I think so.
Yeah, so. And, yeah, for people listening, they're like, what the fuck are they talking about? It's, if someone's comboing you and you're on the defensive end, you can hit, what is it, forward and the throw button?
Combo breaker.
Combo breaker, yeah, and the characters kind of go up, and you can bet how much, if you have a EX meter, you can say how much you want to bet versus the other person's, and then, to make it, like, long story short, if you're on the defensive end and you win out, you get the difference in health versus what you bet versus what they bet, and if the other person wins, they get the difference in, is it damage? No, yeah, they get a damage boost. Is it?
I'm not sure.
The offensive character gets something.
We might be drilling too deep, though.
Yeah, it's it took me a while to kind of, I still don't have a grasp on it, obviously. I still don't really know. I just go like, am I winning the match and I have a lot of meter? I'll do this. If I'm losing the match and I have a lot of meter, I'll do this. That's pretty much where I stand right now. So, usually the latter. But yeah, sorry. Go ahead. Your next game.
No, that's fine. So aside from Injustice, I've also been playing, Injustice on the iOS. And I just want to unlock stuff. It's kind of cool. I'm not going to go too deep in this. It's a tappy tappy dumb fighter. I mean, you're not like fighting for a position on the screen.
Oh, you're being serious. Like
a, yeah, I'm actually being serious. I borrowed an iPad from work just so I could install this. Cause I get costumes, yo. And like, portraits and backgrounds. Anyway, it's dumb, so but it looks really cool, and you know, it's not that bad. Hey, it's free.
I like free. I just downloaded it.
That's all I've been playing. Double Injustice. Right. Triple Injustice, because I've got it on two systems. Jeez. Right.
There you go.
Sickness.
Well, I don't really have that much to add. I played some more Defiance. I played some more Sacred Citadel. I beat Sacred Citadel.
You beat it.
And then, yeah, it's really not that long. It's a pretty short game. But, you know, it's fun. My warrior was like level 32 when I ended. And then I started up a mage just to see what the difference is. And, there's not much of a difference. It's, the difference is like you have like a, it looks like you, all the characters, I haven't tried the other two, but the two that I've tried both wield, dual, like, melee weapons, like swords, maces, axes. And then the difference between them all is the power weapon that they have. So you can combo in the power weapon and, like the warrior has like a big hammer or a giant axe or something like that. And the mage has a fireball or an ice, you know, icicle or something like that, has a spell that they cast. So, that's the difference. It looks like there's a few differences in combos too. There was a different type of combo that I had with the mage after I got a little bit of further into it. So, you know, a little bit of replay value there with the different characters. But, yeah, it's a fun game. I would say that don't buy it for 15. I'd say wait for it to go on sale and buy it for, you know, 10.
It'll definitely go on sale.
I would say it's worth 10. 15 if you are really a fan of beat 'em ups. That's how I'll put it. So I think a lot of the, I haven't seen a whole lot of reviews for it, but like a few of the scores that I've seen have been like in the 7, like 6 and 7 area, and I think that's probably pretty accurate. So, still fun if you're into beat 'em ups. But, yeah, that's it. Unless I played a mobile game. I was playing Cut the Rope Time Travel, which is the new version of Cut the Rope, which I'm...
Time Travel?
Yeah. So the difference in Cut the Rope and the Time Travel one is that now you have two different... What do they call them? Om-noms? You have two om-noms to give candy to. So you have to... There's two pieces of candy, and you have to give one to each one. And you're collecting the stars while you're doing it, too. So it's a little bit of an added piece of a complexity. And then there's like there's new options. Like instead of ropes, there's chains. And the only way
you time travel thing.
Well, it's you start out in like, it really doesn't do, it's really just, it's nothing. As far as like a gameplay perspective, it's nothing. But they say time travel and they go like, you go to ancient Greece and all this stuff.
Okay, so the backgrounds are,
yeah, the backgrounds are different and the second om-nom is different. So that's how that works. But
fucking om-noms.
All right. Om Noms.
Yeah. That's like the only mobile game that I really play anymore is Cut the Rope. I really like that game. I don't know why.
Smoothies.
But, yeah, that's it. So.
Cool. Drought, man. It's a drought.
Yeah, I know. I need to get, Blood, oh shit, what was it? Far Cry 3?
Blood Diamond.
Blood Dragon. Yes. I need to get Blood Dragon.
I know. Injustice. See, this is exactly what I knew was going to happen, Jason. I even said that last episode, one of my things about, if I get Injustice, I'm just going to become obsessed with that for a while and I'm not going to want to play anything else.
Pretty much.
That's on the shelf, and then I have not fucked around with my MAME shit or any of that stuff since then either.
Yeah, I didn't even play any more Pure Solar. I really wanted to. It was just, this was kind of a lull week for me. I really didn't play a whole lot at all. I mean, as far as like how much time I put into it, it's like, you know, I played like a couple hours here and there, and that was pretty much it. It's like,
It's okay. Whatever. We're entitled.
It's nice to have those kind of weeks, I guess. Mm-hmm. Cool. But, let's do some news.
All right. Yeah. Little bit of news, we'll knock them out here real quick. First one, the retail version of the Ouya, which, Chris, I'm surprised you didn't mention that. The retail version is going to be delayed till June 25th. That's not really a big delay though, right?
Isn't that only supposed to be June anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not sure. I think they said it was supposed to be mid-June, so I really don't think it's that much of a delay. But it doesn't surprise me any because they're still trying to get Ouya's out for backers. I literally today just got your Ouya's been shipped and it's going to be another 2 weeks. I'm like, really? It's going to be another 2 weeks? It's like, fuck, man.
So it's been shipped, but it's going to take another couple of weeks?
Well, they said it's at the distribution center, which means that it's in China still, I believe.
Gotcha.
So,
awesome.
Yeah, they apparently just raised another $15 million for, you know, outside of the 8. Whatever million that they got on Kickstarter, they got another $15 million.
You think that they could make a fucking decent flowchart then, instead of using Microsoft Paint?
What?
Their sales figures and stuff and expected ship dates.
Oh, is
you
that
haven't
what,
seen those?
Oh, it looks I like don't somebody really took pay fucking, much attention to them.
Oh God! All right, look. Yeah.
I've ignored them, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
That's awesome.
Yeah, honestly, I would rather them put that money into fixing the controller, but you know.
That's what I've heard. That's the biggest downfall of it right now.
Yeah, right now I think the biggest problem is apparently the controller lag. So I haven't experienced it yet, but hopefully in the next couple of weeks I'll be able to give some more insight on that. But like the controller lag is one thing, and then like how the face plates are formed, they don't. It's like the buttons can get stuck underneath the faceplate, so that's
yeah, because they're like adhered to, or they have magnets.
Yeah, it's magnetic,
so they kind of shift around a little bit.
Yeah,
that's why I think the buttons are getting stuck.
But. Yeah, first thing I'm gonna do is figure out how to get a PS3 controller to work on that damn thing. So that'll be first.
There's a new driver out there, not a driver. It's a new utility, but it uses like the Motion Joy drivers. I don't know if you've used Motion Joy on the PC.
No.
It allows you to use PlayStation 3 controllers, but it requires some weird, like, always-on connection, so it's a kind of like an adware type thing. It's really stupid, but it's been the only thing that's worked really well for quite a while. But, somebody found a way around the online thing, kind of hacked the drivers.
Oh, nice. Cool.
And I forgot what the name is, and this is super informative. But,
well, that's all right. Well, speaking of always online and always not online, actually, this came out the day after record last week, I believe, is we had the whole discussion about the always online, whether that's a good thing or bad thing, because the whole rumor is with the Xbox. Well, now the rumor is there was some kind of email sent out to Xbox employees from somebody in the know that says that it's not going to be always online. And they said it kind of like in a joke in the email kind of thing, like, don't worry, yes, single-player games will work while your system is not online. Another rumor. There you go. Which one is it gonna be? You know, online, not online.
That's the thing. It's like we have one rumor that's saying that it's not gonna be online, and then how many that are saying it will be?
Yeah,
it still worries me a little bit, but I don't think it will be, but.
Yeah, I would bet any money that it is not gonna be always online. And I even said that last week. It's so stupid for them to do that.
Yeah, it would be pretty dumb.
I cannot say shit.
No, I know, so, I know. I knew. In the same little thing there, a little more Xbox rumors. Today, actually, the International Business Times in the UK has said that, reported that the new Xbox is indeed going to be called Infinity, and that was kind of a rumor going back a little bit because it's Windows 8, turn outside, is the infinity symbol kind of thing. They're going to try to tie the two together. And this apparently comes from a source actually within Microsoft and a reliable one. Rumor, in a couple weeks we'll know this all for sure, hopefully. And again with that, with the PS4 and the Xbox, new Xbox, likely not going to be backwards compatible, there's a rumor that there's going to be a Xbox 360 Mini, which is basically going to be $99.99, rumor, don't quote me on this. It's going to be similar to what the HD DVD drive was for the 360, where it's going to be basically the innards of a 360 with no disk drive and no hard drive that hooks up to the new Xbox via HDMI and probably like a power source maybe. And so the new Xbox will play 360 games. So who knows? Would you guys be interested in something like that?
That's a good solution. Yeah, I'd do that.
I'd like that for convenience, if anything, because I don't have to keep my 360 hooked up to my stuff.
I mean, you would still need to have it powered. So
yeah, you have to have it powered. You probably have to have its own power source. Yeah. But I'm more about worried about inputs on my TV.
Yeah, I'm less worried about inputs on my TV as much as, you know, I just like having. I like having one system that can play everything. You know, I had a backwards compatible PS3 for a long time, and I barely used it after like the first 6 months or a year. And I actually still have my PS2 hooked up, so it's really not that big of a deal for me anymore. But you know, it's a nice to have. It's a nice to have. I would do that if only for, you know, even if it was just for like a backup, you know. Just in case my 360 dies, I have this option, you know.
I would do it straight out of convenience, just because I'd hate it to be like, say, you know, we're playing something on 720 or Infinity, I guess I could say now, and then all of a sudden Jay's like, hey, let's play some Street Fighter 4, and then I'd be like, okay, I don't have to turn that off, log on to my 360, and, you know, set all that shit up. It'd be nice to just be like, all right, here we go. Done.
Suddenly everybody's cool with backwards compatibility. Huh.
Cool.
Jeff Chorney.
What do you mean?
You were like, oh, I don't care.
I never said that about this generation.
I got tapes.
I will buy you your generation bringing up choice if you can find where I said I do not care about backwards compatibility this generation. Because this generation, I said, I want it. I said it actually is an issue for me.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Now the responsibility lies on me. That sucks.
Yeah, you have to do some research.
Go through 280 episodes and find it.
No, it was recent.
How many hours of podcasting?
It was within where the PS4 was announced till now. It was some episode in between there where I definitely said, no, I want backwards compatibility this time. Because I got a lot of PS3 and 360 games.
You said that you didn't care about backwards compatibility. Whatever.
I did, I'm not saying I care. I'm saying I would buy something like this for convenience. So even if I did say that, I don't see how this changes things. I'm not being like, woo, backwards compatibility. I'm saying I'd buy it for convenience.
I hate you so much.
But if you can seriously find where I said that, that would be awesome. Because, you know, I don't believe I said that.
I know you
just
said
like,
it.
I don't think so. Sony's first profitable year was this year after 5 years. I guess Sony as a whole, not just the games division or like TV division or that, just as them as a whole. So that's pretty good. I mean, isn't that good?
I think that's good. Of course, they sold two buildings to do it.
Oh, I didn't know that. They still did it, and they have a new console coming out. So there you go. They're starting in the black. They're good to go. That's all the news, really.
Cool. All right. Well, then let's take a break.
Alrighty.
Sweet.
When we come back, we're going to talk about some retro games and if they've worn out their welcome, and then we'll do some new resources, an email, and a new question of the week. So stay with us, and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
And welcome back.
And you welcome back.
Hey,
and you welcome back. Everybody welcome back.
I wasn't sure if I was coming back.
I'm going to eat some crow here because the whole thing we had with Jason about the whole didn't we say we didn't care about backwards compatibility. And now I do remember the PS4 episode when they announced that there wasn't going to be backwards compatibility. Chris and I definitely said that we didn't think it was that big of a deal. Whatever. And so you don't have to go looking for that. Oof. It was right.
I wasn't that invested.
No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking about a listener. They don't have to go back and be like, okay. I know you did. Yeah, it's like, No, I definitely remember saying, yeah, it's not a big deal, but yeah.
I don't think it's a big deal.
Interactive Rejection Podcast.
I don't think it's a big deal. It doesn't mean I don't want it.
Yeah, well,
you know, I would not say no to it. I mean, if they had a backwards compatibility option for $100, I'd be like, yeah, all right, I'll go on.
Well,
on
yeah, that. I mean, yeah. The fat chick's offering to blow you for free. It's like, you're gonna think, you're not, you might not just be like, no, I don't know, you know?
That's an interesting analogy, Jeff. Thank you.
Yeah, it's a shitty analogy.
All right. So, this particular question of the week came from Nabashin, and he was asking us about how we felt about retro games. And, yeah. Basically, if we thought they've worn out their welcome. So, we didn't get any response from this because you guys suck. Yeah,
not through
I said
the emails.
It. No, but we got a couple of people that
they
responded to the
Chris,
thread, so Jeff is going to read those real quick.
All right, the first one comes from Nintendo Legend. He's actually he's new to Retroids. He hosts the podcast, right?
The podcast.
Yeah, One More Podcast.
One More Podcast. Yep.
Cool. Nintendo based one. He posts in there. He goes, "There are not yet too many, nor too few, in my opinion. As someone who loves retro games, both authentic, actual old video games, and I'm not even drinking tonight, and new releases in a retro style. I will say that we definitely have such a wide selection now that even with the retro style arena alone, there's definitely a strata in work. In other words, you can find crappy games or amazing games. You can find titles in any genre. There are always Kickstarter projects for more great retro style projects. Look up Shovel Knight and Fist of the Awesome as two examples. My favorite game of 2012 was Hotline Miami. A new release, but with pixel graphics and a decidedly 1980s feel. The plot is also set in that decade as well. Very cool. Said, I think when executed well, these new retro games can achieve the twin goals of 1. Stroking sentimental nostalgia for those of us who love those period era games, but also 2. Either using retro as a genuinely effective mechanic, or at least performing a traditional game but using retro graphics to make it fresh and interesting. My two cents.
I think he nailed it. Yeah, that's kind of my thoughts on it too. It's like, there's some nostalgic feelings that I have for graphics of that type, but I think designers implement that old school gameplay mentality as well, which it's proven, it's done very well. And I think there's more examples of good gameplay coming out of these retro styled games than bad. So,
I mean, a good example is even old retro games were sometimes hard just because they controlled like crap, just because the hardware couldn't take it. But you look at a game like Super Meat Boy, which is so basic in its style, but it controls so well because of the technology we have today.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be, I don't even think that game would be possible back in like the NES, Super Nintendo days.
Not at the speed and the accuracy of the control that,
exactly.
I mean, possibly last generation. Almost definitely last generation. Very much possibly like the PS1 generation. But like before that, I don't think they would have been able to, I don't think the system would have been able to keep up with how fast you're changing your inputs and stuff.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like the Super Meat Boy has so much to it. You know, as far as like, especially in later stages where there's just so many things going on in the stage, and then you're so quickly manipulating the stage, I don't know. I just think it'd be 60 frames, tough.
And it's very, very on point. There's like no lag in inputs. It's just very, very smooth, no slowdown, none of that stuff.
I'm trying to think of another game that did something like that in that time, and I can't think of anything off the top of my head. I mean, you could say Mario, but Mario was not that type of fast. It wasn't that fast, and, it didn't have that type of, just accuracy in the controls.
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, we didn't have a lot of great 2D examples from that era as well. I totally think it's possible.
Really? I don't... I don't know. Because if you look at, like, Super Nintendo versus Genesis, like, Super Nintendo had a hard time running some of those sports games at even close to the frame rate that the Genesis was. That was the, that's why people bought their sports games on Genesis. And the Genesis games weren't even that fast in terms of motion or even, like, frame rate. So, I don't know. Then again, sports games, you got, like, 5-10 people on screen at once or whatever, but...
I was thinking more like PlayStation
era. Oh,
yeah.
Okay,
I mean,
gotcha.
PlayStation era, I think, probably could have done it. I mean, okay. When I think of PlayStation era, I also think of, like, what 2D games that they had on that machine. And, you know, we're talking about, like, Mega Man 8, was a really good example.
Saturn probably could have done it.
Saturn definitely could have done it. I have no doubt that the Saturn could have done it. Because the Saturn was, like, a 2D powerhouse.
Yeah, it was a beast.
But yeah, when you look back to like the 16-bit generation, I think just in general, those retro games are made possible by, you know, how easily the systems can handle all the inputs and like all the different things that are happening on the screen and that kind of thing. So
he brings up Hotline Miami, which unfortunately I have not played yet.
I haven't either.
But I would like to see the demographic on how the age group of who bought that, because I think like for people like our age and maybe a little younger and definitely older, probably would look at that and be like, that is such awesome art. Like, it's like old pixelated graphics, looks awesome. And the gameplay is apparently awesome. I haven't played it. But I'm wondering how many younger people would look at that and their first instinct would be like, that looks awesome versus I'm only going to play this game because it's getting good buzz. Whereas something like Chris, like you just beat Sacred Citadel, which in reality could be like Streets of Rage or Final Fight, but with better graphics.
Yeah.
And, I mean, nothing beats Streets of Rage. That game is freaking amazing.
Well, Hotline Miami had a lot going for it. I mean, it had a lot of buzz. You know, it had a crazy soundtrack, and you know, even the pixelated graphics were extremely stylized. So I think that might not be the best example of like retro style graphics. Something like Retro City Rampage.
Yeah, that's going
might be a better example. Even that had a ton of buzz as well. But
that's true.
I think the gameplay and everything else. Definitely harkens back to the old 8-bit era. I think, yeah, Hotline Miami. Miami's a little bit different. It was like, you know, analog control and shit like that, so.
Yeah. I need to try that out, though.
You should. It's awesome. It's pretty crazy. Pretty fun.
Hey, well, Scott Pilgrim, they went total retro on that on purpose. And
fucking love that game.
It was a well-controlling game. I just thought that there were a couple of design choices that needed to change. And they may have changed, because I know they patched the game, but there were a couple of overly cheap moments in that game.
Which word ripped straight out of that old playbook?
Yeah, I don't know. Because I played Streets of Rage 2 since then, and I didn't
Streets
have that
Rage
same
2
moment.
So good. Yeah. That's the only beat 'em up I can still play start to finish and not get bored like after like the second level. Well, that
game.
And TMNT, but
it was a good game.
Want to get to another reply here?
Sure.
The Retroids. Also from a fellow Retroid podcast. This is from Rage, part of the Down to 4X podcast. Great podcast. You should listen to it if you don't. They're from Scotland. So they probably have sex with goats, obviously.
Obviously.
That's what Scotlanders do.
Yeah, that's a thing, right?
Yep, definitely. He says, it seems like two forces are pulling against each other. On one hand, retro-style games are saying, these old games are great. We can't lose what was great about the past. While those trying new things are saying, if we don't move forward, we stagnate, retro game designers say. But there's so much we can explore with these old game styles, new game designers say. But think of all the great game designs that don't exist yet. And he says, both contains truths. Personally, some of my favorite games to come out recently are retro in nature, so I can't knock them, but we need both. Also, stagnation is stagnation, whether it's retro, FPS, JRPG, or whatever.
I agree with that sentiment, very much so. As far as the stagnation comment, you know, just because you're making a retro game doesn't mean that we're stagnating, you know, that we're stagnant. And, you know, it's in a lot of ways, I think it can be an advancement because you're making a new, maybe you're doing a new gameplay style with the retro graphics, or, you know, maybe you're just remaking a classic and adding a modernized control scheme or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at Bionic Commando. I think Bionic Commando was a fantastic remake.
It was a
and
really good remake.
It from a visual perspective, it wasn't really retro, but the gameplay was very retro.
Definitely.
So
they did change some things though to make it more approachable for people today. Is like it wasn't one hit kills and stuff like that.
Well, even the first one wasn't one hit kills. It was you did it first, but you gained life.
You gain life.
Yeah. So, I mean, they made it so that it wasn't one hit kill in the start.
From the beginning, yeah.
Like, when I played Bionic Commando for NES, I would stay on the first stage until I had, like, six life. You know? Mm-hmm. I was that kind of person. I would just keep collecting bullets until I had six life.
Until you had the full thing. Yeah.
Just grind that shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then you just go through the game, and it's just it's a much better experience that way, so.
And also, he's just saying, like, I mean, it's not even just the fact of retro. Like, I mean, first-person shooters, a lot of people would say they're pretty stagnant right now. Like, there hasn't been anything that's new. And some JRPGs, too. It's getting a lot of flack. Like, how JRPGs have probably, I'd say out of all the genres of video games we've, like, grown up with, that's probably been the one to take the biggest downfall, I think, since Final Fantasy III. Like, they were, like, so popular. Like, Final Fantasy VII sold, like, so much. So many, like, fans. So many people love that game. And they were like the big thing for a while, and now they've kind of, now people see JRPG and
they automatically assume grind.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And that's true. That's true. And it's a very fine line. You know, there haven't been many JRPGs recently that have avoided that grind. And even games that do, for the most part, have some of it in it. You know, it's like there's almost no way around it. But in reality, it's just, in a lot of ways, it's just the nature of RPGs in general. I mean, there are RPGs out there that avoid it altogether, but, there are not many of them.
No.
So.
I'll say in regards to the question, though, like, I don't think, I'm definitely not getting tired of them, but I'll say the novelty is kind of wearing off. Like, when this whole retro resurgence kind of started, like, maybe 5 years ago.
Yeah, it was really cool at the time.
Yeah, everything that was like, this was awesome. Now there's so many, I am kind of like picking and choosing. Like, I didn't.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them I didn't buy or didn't play because I was like, okay, there's so many of them now. Where before it was like, oh my God, this is going to play like this and look like this. And
yeah. Well, I mean, it almost feels like you can consider it its own genre to an extent. You know, mm-hmm. It's almost like there's a retro genre, and within that, there's all these subgenres that branch out into what we know for, like, more modern games that stay with, like, the modern presentation. I think that what you said is true with any genre. I mean, you don't pick up every game in a genre just because you like that genre. You pick and choose.
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of where it's gone. And it goes more to just presentation. And I mean, we kind of focused on that I kind of focused on that when I mentioned the question of the week last week, but it definitely goes further than that. And, I love what it's been doing and I'm not tired of them, but yeah, I am choosy, like you said. The one thing I will say, and this is something that I think I've mentioned this before on the show, is like, I feel like the first generation of a new, like, presentation style. So, for instance, like 8-bit NES. You know, there are some gems from a presentation perspective on the 8-bit systems, but there's not many. You know, when you get to 16-bit, that broadens largely, right? And when I think of what I want out of a retro presentation, I want it to be the high point of that era. So it's like when, for instance, with the Mega Man games, I mean, like 9 and 10.
9 and 10.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a great idea. I thought it was a fantastic idea for them to do that, but I would have rather them use the Super NES sprites.
Like sprites. And,
yeah. Because
I see where you're going.
Yeah. Because I mean, whereas I think the novelty is nice, but I mean, I think that, you know, I'm not saying go as far as to use Mega Man 8 sprites, because Mega Man 8 was, you know, fantastic and, you know, very highly.
But it was the pinnacle of 16-bit, not.
Yeah, like, that's what I want. I mean, give me that retro style, but give me the peak of it. It's like if when we get to the point where, 3D graphics, like whatever that we know of are, when we're talking about retro, I don't want games to look like the PlayStation. I want them to fucking look like PS2 at least. You know?
Yeah, like the same way if they made a new Castlevania game, 2D, you'd probably want it to look more like the DS games versus Symphony of the Night. Like, no, Symphony of the Night still looks good,
I'd rather it look like Symphony of the Night, to be honest.
Oh, really?
That one, yeah. Absolutely.
No, I thought games look awesome.
Symphony of the Night, I mean, the DS games do look awesome. I would not turn that away at all. But, I would love to see, you know, if they were going to make like a $10-$15 retro, game like that, then yeah, I mean, use the DS sprites or whatever you want to do. I'll still play it. But if you're going to make me a full-fledged, like, brand new Metroidvania in the Castlevania universe on a next-gen system, I want that shit to look as good as possible. So that's
well,
the
no,
kind
no,
of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean more or less if they were going to make it in the retro style. Like, they're going to make...
I see.
So not like a brand new, like, HD hand-drawn sprites, but like, I can see where you're saying the transition, like the...
I would want that to look like, Rondo of Blood.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so it would be, it'd be kind of in between, it's kind of in between 16, cause Rondo of Blood was on the Turbo, which was kind
Turbo,
of...
yeah.
It's kind of like dual 8-bit, but you know, yeah. But it wasn't what you saw on PlayStation, but it, you know, for some reason I remember it a little bit better than what we see on DS, and that might just be my memory. So, but yeah, I see where you're going. Mm-hmm.
Because 16-bit, 8-bit are pretty much the same kind of gameplay, just with way better graphics. They could do so much more sprites, whereas when they jump to 32-bit, that's when, like, 3D started coming in and gameplay was changing and everything wanted to be polygonal. So yeah, if you want, I agree with you. Like, if I wanted like a retro ass game, I would want it to look 16-bit rather than 8-bit in a lot of ways.
Yeah, because that's where that shit peaked.
Well, dude, how do you, like, Pure Solar, dude? Like, that's...
Yeah, Pure Solar is a very good example, like, because
it's the best-looking RPG I've seen on Genesis.
And, yeah. I love it when artists are kind of constrained to that 16-bit era, because when you're constrained
like
that,
you
get really, really creative.
You get some really creative ways of making things look interesting and that kind of thing. And, you know,
we've really, really are drawn to, like, you know, some of the high-end, you know, retro remakes, as it were.
Yeah.
Some of the really nice sprite work. It's like, wow, that's God, true. If we could have had this
Holy
back in the
crap.
Day.
You know what's funny, though? It's like, you know, with all this that we were talking about, and, you know, since Jeff brought up Castlevania, like, if they were going to make a retro Castlevania, I would not want them to use the Super Castlevania sprites.
No.
I would rather them use Simon's Quest sprites than
really?
Castlevania 4. Yeah, I don't know why. That game just is not...
Well, not necessarily sprites, but, like, the quality of the sprites. Like, I'm not saying, like, take the sprites directly out of there, but, like, the same kind of, like,
limitations. I don't know. I would rather them use...
They were just shitty all the way around, like, animation to...
Yeah,
just, like,
I didn't think that... Yeah, I didn't think Castlevania 4 was that great.
I loved it at the time.
Oh, yeah, at the time. I mean, even, you know, I would say the pinnacle of...
Bloodlines, I thought, looked...
Oh, Bloodlines was fantastic.
Smooth, but it looked pretty awesome.
Bloodlines was fantastic. That was a great, great game. Rondo of Blood is a perfect example of that retro style that would be good. And even like the presentation of the Super NES port of that game, I wouldn't say choose that over the Turbo version, but if that's the only option you have, then, you know, there you go. But yeah, absolutely. Bloodlines, I think, from an American release standpoint, Bloodlines was the pinnacle of Castlevania on 16-bit systems.
Huh. Yeah. I can see that.
My opinion, of course. But,
So I'm looking at the Kickstarter page of this, this game called, ANNE.
Yeah.
And they're just speaking my language, man. It says your favorite 8-bit and 16-bit era games mashed into one. Metroidvania meets Gradius in an exciting modern pixel art adventure.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm checking out the trailer right now. Really, really cool looking. But I'm looking at the like the Kickstarter goals.
And they're pretty crazy.
They have like mock-up SNES carts and USB Super Nintendo controllers. Really, really cool stuff. But they're definitely going after our nostalgia.
That's a very cool art, because if you look at this on the Kickstarter page, it's definitely something that could not be possible on the 8-bit, but a lot of that stuff looks 8-bit. It's like the colors and stuff are definitely like 16-bit or even 32-bit, but the actual pixels and everything, like the sprites.
Yeah, it's an interesting mashup. Yeah. Whereas you look at something like another high-profile Kickstarter game, Shovel Knight, looks very 8-bit, you know, as far as like its UI and its menus and stuff.
And that one's been at the same time. Buzz, too.
Some of the backgrounds look, you know, just the way that they're shaded. Like this, the NES could not handle that many colors. Do you know what I mean? They could not do that.
Yeah.
So
how is this one doing? Oh, it's almost reached its goal.
The ANNE? Yeah.
It looks interesting. I would check it out.
Totally. Metroidvania and Gradius? Yeah. Okay. See, they're sucking me in.
I tell
you. There you go.
Kickstarter. But, I'll tell you what. There have been some good things coming out of Kickstarter. I am really happy with it.
Some shitty stuff too.
Oh but yeah, there's. I mean, the mass majority of it is shitty stuff. But there's.
I love that it actually. Yep, gives really creative people the opportunity to, you know, provide.
Yeah,
and to create. Definitely. And it seems like a lot of the good stuff sifts to the top. So that's good.
Yeah, because I guess mostly because of like podcasts and video game sites stuff, they get news of that stuff and they'll promote that shit and be like, hey, check this out. And,
yep.
You know, get that out there.
Good stuff. Mm. And we've yet to really been to be burned by Kickstarter, I guess.
Not really, no.
But until that happens.
Speaking of the news, I'm not going to go into now with Dennis Dyack and his new company. They have a Kickstarter going. Not a Kickstarter. It's a different one that's like Kickstarter, but because there's problems with Kickstarter
like
in Canada.
Like a U-Fund or something.
Yeah, so they're basically making Eternal Darkness 2, and they need like 1. something million. It's a lot of money.
And it's so dumb. Let's get it. They're shooting for an episodic format
as
well.
Yeah, that's right.
In a game like that? No.
Yeah. Anyway. Cool. Well, I guess we're pretty much unanimous. None of us want this stuff to go away at all.
Yeah, like, true.
But you do have to be choosy, and you know, if you're gonna, you know, I think what's important is to make sure that even if you're doing like a retro gameplay perspective, just make sure you refine it for the generations of games that have passed and make those controls spot on. It's really kind of exactly like Super Meat Boy. Super Meat Boy is a perfect example of not only retro presentation, but retro gameplay that has just been so refined. And, you know, it's just flawless controls.
What's it called games? What's that one that came out? Block Theater?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's kind of retro style and that's kind of cool.
And it's gameplay, yeah. I think we're on that verge, you know, like this retro style is super popular and I think people might cling on to that and try and tout that over gameplay.
Yeah, it's also cheaper to make these games.
Yeah, you know that's a boon to creative people, but at the same time, yeah, some people who might not have the best game design, you know, want to go for this retro style and might pimp that. And once that happens, then we're going to start becoming oversaturated. And
yeah, that's true.
We're already at a point right now where, you know, Jeff said it before, we're starting to get a little more choosy about what we're.
But I don't think that's a bad thing, as
playing.
I said. I mean,
the retro
it's almost like in its own genre now.
Yeah, we ate it up without question before, but now we're like, okay, all right. Show me what you got first.
Like the best stuff floating to the top, that's like exactly what's going to happen. It's going to make people make these games even better and better instead of people capitalizing on how popular they are or whatever. So
that's right.
I just hope it stays that way.
Exactly.
Me too.
Fingers crossed.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
All right.
Shall we continue?
Well, thanks for those replies, Nintendo Legend and Rage.
And thank you, Nabishin, for the idea.
For the idea, definitely.
Thank you, guys.
Hey, guess what?
Yay. What?
I got some of these.
What? Okay, so there's still not that much this week. First up, we have Metro Last Light, which is a sequel to Metro 2033, which is kind of a near-average shooter. Apparently, I think this is some sort of follow-on from the Stalker games at some point, but yeah, I don't know. That's on the PC, Xbox, and PS3. And on the PS3, we're also getting a Dust 514, which is the weird multiplayer first-person shooter thing that's got some sort of ties to EVE somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know about it, but, well, there you go. And let's see what else we got here. The 3DS is getting something that could be interesting, and that's the Starship Damaray. Damaray? Damaray. I don't know. Anyway, this is one of the Level 5's Guild games. It's part of Guildo 2. So it's a downloadable title. It's some sort of horror adventure-y game. So yeah, it could be interesting. Could be worth checking out. Other than that, it looks like there's some Metal Gear Rising DLC where you get to play as Blade Wolf. So that's interesting.
Blade Wolf.
And that'll pretty much do it.
All right.
All right. Yeah, Dust 514 is actually still in.
This edition of Beat Don't Give a Fuck, brought to you by Repeat.
Yeah, 514 has actually still been in beta this entire time.
Oh, yeah, it's been in beta for like over a year.
Yeah, I have yet to play it. I downloaded it just because I wanted to give it a shot.
Yeah, I played it for about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't give a shit.
I did play something else too. Fuck, Fuse demo, but I'll talk about
that.
Oh,
yeah,
this week.
I played that too.
I'll say for now it's a big meh, but I'll play the whole thing. So right. I'll play the whole demo by next week.
Yeah, it gets better.
Okay, I hope.
So, yeah, I didn't like the demo, but played some of the full game today. Yeah. And, yeah.
Cool. It seems like it's made for co-op.
Oh, totally.
Okay.
Yeah. Very cool. So pick of the week. Do we have anything?
Oh, does Fuse come out next week? Because I was going to say that.
I don't know. You would know better than
I do.
I don't think it does either.
I'll go with Metro. Those games are supposed to be... I got a free code for Metro. They were doing a Facebook giveaway a long time ago. I have not downloaded it. But a lot of people like those games. They say they're really good.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good things about 2033. So, yeah, it's probably a good bet.
I think the console and PC versions come with the original version as well.
Oh, wow. That's nice. Cool.
And they also might make you play through it first.
That's not nice.
Something to that effect.
Totally not cool. If
hearsay,
that is true.
Hearsay right now. Please don't quote me, but something to that effect.
Yeah, no. That would be retarded. It's like, I just want to play the second one, but you know, the first one's there if I want to. What? Can I put 20 something hours into this first?
Yeah.
I really need to look this up first. Because. That sounds really fucking jerky.
Well, while you're looking that up, let's play a voicemail. Here we go.
Hey guys, it's Navashin. I'm gonna give you guys. I would think, you know, I think a lot because I'd be bored at work. And think of a new question for you guys to think of, to ponder on, or just like to even contemplate on. I don't know if this is good enough for like a question of the week, but I don't know. I'm just spitting it out, so see how you guys like it or whatever. But what is something that you got into this generation of console that is kind of still with you, that you never played it or never got used to it before, and now you're really into it? And what thing that you got into this generation that you're just completely just like done with now? I know like for me, I never played the third person shooter until this generation, and like I think Uncharted, the first one was my very first one. And I really dug that. So, you know, that was something I was actually hyped for to begin with, because I saw the trailers for that, and I was like, oh, this game is pretty cool. And I played it, and I was like, oh, this game is pretty cool. So, you know, yeah, that's how I really got into that. And, I really like my third person shooters. I feel like they can always, I can never really get used to first person shooters, because I don't know the perspective or whatever, it just really bugs me. I do play games like, Bioshock and, Bioshock and Panther, and I never finished Bioshock, the first one. And I play Mirror's Edge, which I really love. Our prize, though. You know, there you go. But, like, something that I got into the generation that I'm just completely done with now is online multiplayer for, like, anything. I'm really just done with it. I just don't care anymore. Like, Warhawk and Street Fighter 4 and everything, you know, like, Warhawk and Uncharted 2, I used to play the fuck out of those games. I used to play online all the time. I used to have really a lot of fun with it. And then just eventually, it's just, like, I'm just done. I'm done trying to, like, rely on someone else for me to have enjoyment out of my video games. And I don't know, that's kind of some elitist mentality, but I don't know, that's just how I feel about multiplayer these days. But you know, it's not like I still, like the only multiplayer game I really still play is fighting games, but it's just like, I don't know, I don't even go online for my matches anymore. It's really weird to me. Like I always play fighting games like Darkstalkers and, like even Injustice, I bought that. I love the fuck out of that game. It's just the fact that I just don't touch online multiplayer at all. It's just like I play for the story because I'm a weirdo like that, and I play like some local games with my friends. Like other than that, I just don't play multiplayer anymore. It's the weirdest thing. Living with Mr. Tony Horvath though, I've been playing a little bit more multiplayer, but you know the local kind, so that's completely different from online. So yeah, what do you guys think? That's a question, right? I hope so. Question of the week, maybe, or just answer it right now. I don't give a shit. I'm an ideas man. Peace.
I kind of like that as a question of the week.
Yeah, totally.
What's something you've dropped this generation, something you picked up this generation?
Didn't you have one for next week already though, Jay?
I do, but sure. We can put either one of these in the
I don't know if we should take one of Navashin's question of the weeks again when he didn't even answer the one he gave us last week.
Well, he just kind of, he already answered
this one.
He did answer
his,
in
he
this
answered
one.
This one, yeah.
So.
That's true. Yeah, I'm down for whatever.
I say we do something like that. I actually like that.
You guys don't want to do. What do you predict for the new Xbox?
No, we'll do that. No. Oh, I guess yeah, because I guess after next week we're going to be doing the what happened at the Xbox.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah, because they reneged on a lot of things.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'd probably sit out for that episode though. Like predictions
one?
For
no. I don't think we should do the prediction one.
No. I was joking. I don't. Think I was we totally should. Joking, dude.
Oh, okay.
I was totally
yeah, joking. All right.
No.
But
I say we do.
Unless you guys want to like bet money and shit, because
no,
might
then
be
you're
down.
Definitely not taking part.
That's right.
But what you can do is you can email me shit, and then I'll make bets. How about we
I'll make bets on the side, and we'll pull you into that. We'll give you a percentage.
I'm cool with using that question.
I like that Nabishin question.
Yeah.
Actually.
All right. Let's do that.
I like that.
We'll do that.
All right.
So we will save that. I do have one more voicemail. You guys want to do that now?
Yes, sure. Please.
All right, here we go.
Hey, guys. This is Fluffy.
Fluffy!
Here we go.
Not much.
What's up, man? I'm watching D-Rock. Space Jam. It's fucking awesome.
He's watching Space Jam? Is that what
he's playing golf. He hasn't got into it yet. But,
playing golf and watching Space Jam?
Awesome. Fucking Porky Pig. He's fucking hilarious.
He is playing. Yeah. Watching Space Jam.
As you can tell, I'm a bit fucked up. I'm thinking, fucking, you know what I want to do? Because I can't explain what's in my head. I can barely explain it to myself. I definitely can't explain it to you. But it would be smart if we had a way to record what's in there, and then I could just play and watch it. Because you know what? I want to make a cartoon out of it.
I don't want to know what's in your head, Fluffy.
But I can pitch it to someone to make it. And it'll like, it won't be like a good cartoon.
What?
It'll be like between TV shows cartoon.
I'm at the point where the Google translation thing would probably make more sense.
I can be fucking famous. I've got to go. I just got a message. What's it called? I'm fucking home alone tonight. I went to the strippers before.
There's one stripper in Australia. I went to the strippers.
I have a few. Not strippers. Fucking drinks and smoke. But now, it's all good. He's just gone through the hole. Tweety Bird. When did they take him off the TV?
I don't know.
Okay, I'm gonna go now. I'm gonna let you go. Okay, bye. Close the messages.
I love that guy.
I do too.
I missed the last part. I went to feed my cat.
Oh. he was asking why Tweety Bird isn't on TV anymore.
Oh, Tweety Bird is awesome. Oh,
no, monster. I hate that fucker.
I do too. I've always hated him. You know what? It's like, I go back and watch Looney Tunes now, and it's like, I really don't like this.
What?
Really?
Yeah.
I haven't watched them in fucking years, but.
Looney Tunes are great. Like,
yeah,
overall,
I
think.
Looney Tunes were amazing.
It's Tiny funny. Tunes? I can. Oh, Tiny Tunes was awesome. But I mean, just like the regular Looney Tunes cartoons. I don't know. It's like most of them I can't watch anymore. It's just...
Fuck, I listen to them all the time while listening to my Sheryl Crow CD. So,
that's right.
Awesome. So good.
Sweet Child of Mine. Yep.
Yeah, that Bugs Bunny remake of
On loop.
Sweet Child of Mine. So good.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, shit.
Back up by Elmer Fudd.
How can you not like Elmer Fudd? Chris, come on.
Dude, I was a Tom and Jerry kid, man. I love Tom and Jerry.
I like Tom and Jerry as well,
Tom
man.
Tom and Jerry is where it's at.
You can add some soup with your salad, man. Saying.
I understand that, but it's just, you know, I don't know.
Where'd that saying come from?
I know, I heard it recently.
I just heard it today. What the hell was that from?
It's going to really bug me now. I totally stole it, but it was probably thinking
hey, at least I've heard
thing.
That one, not like the the moment when you guys said jump the shark and I was like, what?
Oh God.
I've never heard that before.
What do you mean jump the shark?
And the funny thing is it's like, I hear it all the time now. It's like ever since we had that conversation, I hear it all the fucking time. So anyway, but thank you Fluffy for the voicemail.
Love you Fluff. Hey, so about that Metro Last Light. I have no idea what the fuck I was talking about.
I was going to say that is some
literally
evil
no
shit.
Idea. I cannot find anything to corroborate.
Whatever that word is.
Oh my God. Yeah. Whatever the fuck I was talking about.
Maybe you should that's shorten the word shit. And call say co-op or something like that.
Talking out of my ass apparently, but it sounded like legit at the time.
It sounded good when you said it.
So if you could just cut this entire second half, that'd be great.
Nah.
Okay.
We don't
this
do that.
This soothing sound thing's really bugging the fuck out of me. I need to Google it.
So are we doing question of the week next?
Yeah. That's what we usually do, right?
Yeah, let's do what Nobishin said. What have you gotten into this generation, and what have you kind of faded out of this generation? Like, what did you like that you don't like as much anymore? And you know, what's new for you?
Yeah,
exactly.
And as always, if you guys have any comments on what we discussed today, you are welcome to send those as well. You can do that
please.
By sending us an email. That address is email@interactivedistractions.com. You send us a voicemail as well. That is 706-760-4337. And we very much do appreciate the voicemails like we did, got from Nobishin last week, Nobishin this week, Fluffy this week. So, check us out on Twitter. We are Indus Podcast, and follow us individually as well. We are Indus Chris, Unistrike, and Indus Geoff.
G-E-O-F-F.
Facebook, Google Plus, and Steam, that we are Interactive Distractions, so check us out. And, if you're on the internet.
If you're on the internet.
If you're on the internet.
Yeah. Come by Retroids and join the forums and get involved in some of the conversations going on over there. Yeah, I think you'll have a good time.
Some cool dudes there.
There are some cool dudes. Except for those Indus guys. Those guys are assholes.
Fucking assholes. Bags.
That is all I've got. You guys have anything else before we wrap up?
No, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm good.
All right.
I was trying real hard, but yeah.
If you guys want to hear about more Injustice, go check out the Game Informer show. I think it was like episode 158 or something. Jason made your third appearance on the Game Informer show?
Second or third. I get offered every week. I just don't have a lot to contribute.
Oh, really? It seems like you're on for fighting games. I'm actually surprised that you guys didn't do like a Monster Hunter thing and you jump on for Monster Hunter.
I would have been pulled in for that one.
Yeah.
So everybody has like their own particular genres.
Yeah.
And if there's a game that comes out in that genre, they're automatically like by default, they're on that podcast. So
right.
I did not have a choice with that.
So are you going to be on the podcast for PSO2 when it comes out?
I really doubt that this is going to be a podcast for PSO2. Very much doubt.
Really? All right. Alright, well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, please tell a few friends about us. And if you're on iTunes, please leave us a review. So, until next week, my name is Chris.
My name is Jason.
And I am Geoff.
Play your games, and we will talk to you next week.
Later.
See ya.